Broadcasting on the Drug Truth Network, this is Cultural Baggage.
It's not only inhumane, it is really fundamentally un-American.
My name is Dean Becker. I don't condone or encourage the use of any drugs, legal or illegal. I report the unvarnished truth about the pharmaceutical, banking, prison, and judicial nightmare that feeds on eternal drug war. Hello, my good friends. Welcome to this edition of Cultural Baggage. Our guest this week is somebody I've been after for years now to bring on the program, and we'll hear more about that here in just a moment. But first, a little drug war news. There's a rather chilling article from the National Institute on Drug Abuse, NIDA. It's accompanied by an equally chilling photo of Dr. Valcow. Apparently, our tax dollars are now searching for a drug to counter marijuana intoxication and, quote, dependence. Not only that, but NIDA's Marijuana Medications Development Initiative will encourage investigation of treatments that include behavioral intervention, end quote. I wonder what the hell that means. We're speaking with Bruce Merkin, the Director of Communications for the Marijuana Policy Project. Bruce, I understand that earlier this year you guys selected Mr. Tommy Chong for some honors, and why don't you tell us what that was all about?
Well, sure. We gave out a handful of awards at our 10th anniversary celebrations. We had big galas in both Los Angeles and Washington, D.C. The Washington, D.C. one was a little more politically oriented. We gave what we called a Legislative Leadership Award to Congressman Sam Farr of Santa Cruz, California, who's been a true leader on the medical marijuana issue in the House of Representatives. And also we gave an award to Montel Williams, a medical marijuana patient and TV talk show host who's been extremely public and active. And at the Los Angeles Gala, in addition to giving an award to medical marijuana plaintiffs Angel Raich and Diane Monson from the recent Supreme Court case, we also gave Tommy what we called the Courage Under Fire Award, which, given what he's gone through in the last year, is probably pretty self-explanatory. This is a guy who did months and months in federal prison for the crime of selling pipes that somebody might use to smoke a little marijuana, even when you might think there are more serious issues for law enforcement to be going after. And we thought it was time to give Tommy a pat on the back for standing up for his rights and being willing to publicly talk about the absurdity of some of these laws.
We're here at the Improv. I'm just so proud to be with one of my heroes, a man whose movie career and music career I followed over the years, Mr. Tommy Chong.
Hey, thank you very much for following me around. So you're the stalker, are you?
Thanks, sir. I want to tell you how much I enjoyed you and your wife Shelby's show. You guys are, you're patriots, you're Americans, you're talking some truth, and I want to thank you.
Well, you know, they kind of put me in that position, the government, you know, so when they put me in jail for that bogus bong bust, they, instead of shutting me up, they kind of opened me up. I have a duty to talk about what's going on, and I love it.
Well, I think much of what they do in prosecuting this drug war turns out to do quite the opposite of what they intended, does it not?
Well, it kind of makes you kind of think about, it's like the privatizing of the prisons, you know, and then the drug war, any kind of war, that, you know, the Congress allots a huge billions of dollars for a budget. In other words, a lot of people are making money off the drug war simply because, you know, they're getting paid. You know, they're like firemen throwing gasoline on a forest fire, you know. They got a job, they get paid for it, and they get the added benefit of busting innocent millions of innocent people for a harmless substance. So it really is a huge scam. And eventually, American people will, you know, if enough of us stop smoking long enough to realize what's going on, something might get done.
Yeah. I think there was this attempt, if you will, when they busted all the glass blowers a few years back, to undercut the financial infrastructure of reform, magazines like High Times and so forth, where many of those firms advertise.
Well, yeah, there's that. What they did, they snuck all these stupid, sort of sneaky paraphernalia laws in. First of all, the pot laws are illegal to begin with. You know, they're just out-and-out racist, illegal laws. And that's why people ignore them. And that's another reason why you look at the pot itself. You know, it's more beneficial than it is harmful. In fact, they've studied it up and down, trying to look for something wrong, you know, something that they can see is actually wrong with pot. And all they keep coming up with is its benefits. You know, it helps MS, it helps the cancer people, it helps the glaucoma people. And so what they really come up with is this beautiful way of incarcerating peaceful, friendly people into jails, so you don't have violent jails. You just got them filled with really good people that help them run their jails, and then they get to take away all their property to boot. And it's a perfect system for these guys, you know. And if they're the least bit crooked, like they are, like the DEA, you know, there are so many forfeitures that never go reported. And these people, they're for every drug bust that you read in the paper, you know, and forfeitures of income and assets, there's millions of dollars that just get lost into the pockets of these drug enforcement agents. So they're making so much money they can't afford the truth to come out, because you know that's the way it works. The prisons being privatized the way they are, they're not even liable. The federal prison I was in is owned by a private company in Denmark. There's a security company called Wackenhut, and they own all these security companies that police America, and they're owned by a foreign company. They're owned, privately owned, so that you can't sue them. I mean, you can sue them, but then you're suing a private company. You have to go through all that stuff. The government has farmed out all these prison jobs, and it's such a scam, you know, on the biggest scale imaginable. You know, there's more people in jail now than anywhere, any time in history, any country in the world. You know, we lead everybody. And here we are supposedly, and people are dying in Iraq, supposedly fighting for our freedoms to give the Iraqis freedom that we don't have. We don't have these freedoms anymore. When 9/11 hit, everybody's freedoms went out, you know, down the toilet. And here they are, they got people dying, fighting for somebody else's so-called freedom, and they've taken away all our freedoms, you know.
Now, a fellow Canadian, Mr. Mark Emery, had a somewhat similar situation occur to him just a few weeks back for selling seeds to Americans. And I thought God was Mr. Big on that one, sir.
Well, you would think, but see, Mark Emery is another target, and it shows you how much the United States government has corrupted all the other countries, like Canada, like Mexico, and Nepal. You know, Nepal was one of the only countries in the world that had a legal hash trade going. You know, the king of Nepal would put the royal stamp on the hash, and it was a legal tender, and it had been that way for centuries, you know, because that's what Nepal and India and all those places, you know, that was a respected trade, the hash trade, because, you know, the ancient people, they knew that hash and hashish, like the Muslims, for instance, the people that were fighting at war, you know, they won't allow anybody to drink alcohol. But hash is considered okay because they know it's healthy. It's the healthiest of all the intoxicants. And And what the United States did, they went to the king of Nepal and bought him, give him $50 million to make hash illegal. And he did it. Just like, well, $50 million. Where do I sign? And he signed it. And from then on, now the whole country, everywhere, is run by the drug cartel. And it's not the Mexicans, and it's not the Colombians. It's the United States government. They're the biggest drug cartel in the world.
There seems to be a vicious cycle. Every 5 years or so, they talk about a new drug comes along, OxyContin, and now it seems to be methamphetamines. But it's not a new drug. It's been a problem, but it's not quite the problem they say it is. But I guess what I'm trying to say, sir, if we were to regulate the distribution to adults, there'd be nobody making meth. There'd be no children exposed to it. There's got to be a better way.
No, you can't. You can't say that. What you can say is that people like when they had alcohol, you know, when it was prohibition, you know, when they outlawed alcohol, you had people making moonshine, and you had people making poison in the bathtub, and selling it to people where they were killing, you know, people. People were dying from this, you know, because of the prohibition. When they legalized alcohol, people still died. There's still the wino mentality, you know. And methamphetamine, for instance, it's made from illegal products, you know, cold medicines, where they extract the whatever it is and they cook it up and they make meth. So the drug companies themselves, it's almost karma. You know, the drug companies that sell the bullshit illegal cold remedies, you know. I mean, they're the biggest crooks. Well, look at them, the Bioxin people. They got nailed with $200 million settlement. But they'll never make it. They'll never get paid that out. And thanks to the Bush people, they'll probably don't have to pay anything. Yeah. And so what they did... You see, we look at the world through in eyes of innocence. But when you look at the kind of money that's being generated by the alcohol companies, by the drug companies, by DEA, the drug enforcement companies, all the money that's being generated by keeping this illegal, you know, with the laws that say they can come in and take your property and take your money, take your cash, take your life, take your years, you know, all that stuff. It's we're in the midst, you know, they talk about bringing down the mafia. The United States government is the biggest mafia that's ever been. They're the biggest bunch of crooks that has ever been on this earth. And we can start it right at the top, you know. You know, my theory is that this whole thing is being orchestrated by Saudi Arabia. That's my theory. Because Saudi Arabia really owns the Bush family. But it the way it's orchestrated, you have to think that these people, and it's coming out too, the FBI knew about these bombers. Everybody knew about these bombers. Why did it happen? Duh. Because it happened because it was the only way that the Republicans could get in power and take power, total control, like they've done. And this the shock and awe war in Iraq is the same thing. They were told by every expert in the world that if they did what they did, this would be the result. What is the result?
Fiasco.
The highest gas prices ever in the world. Which makes the oil companies the richest that they've ever been. The money is just pouring in there. Look at it. Look at the history of it all. You know, who gains? The oil people. And who are the Bushes? Oil people. Who's Cheney? Oil people. And what is the war in the Middle East about? Oil. It's all about oil. And that's the biggest drug. You know, you talk about pot being a drug. Oil is the biggest drug, you know? And it's causing all this shit. And that's why they're coming down on potheads, so you can distract everybody's attention from what's right in their face, and then they'll bust some, you know, Martha Stewart for lying about a taxing. Put her in jail. Put her on the front page, you know. Or Michael Jackson for diddling some little kid. Put him on the front page. Anything to knock Karl Rove and Cheney and all these guys off the news. And here they are. They're doing it. But, you know, the good point is, the good side of all this is, you know that old saying, don't mess with Mother Nature? See, Mother Nature, this earth is, in this whole universe, is ruled by nature. You know? Mother Nature rules. And Mother Nature will kick your ass if you don't pay attention to the rules. And part of the rules are, you don't lie. You don't hurt other people. You know? You don't steal. You don't have to steal. See, Mother Nature is there to give us whatever we need. But we have to behave. We have to love one another. We have to look out for each other. We're all here together. We're not, no one's entitled to have more than the other. You see? And that's what these oil people don't realize, you know. That, what are they going to gain? Money? They're going to get rich? Well, you know, everybody gets old and dies. No matter how rich you are, you know, there's rich people been around, you know, that would give their fortunes just so they could shit a hard turd, you know, because their health goes. And that's Mother Nature. And Mother Nature will kick your ass no matter who you are, you know. So you can be as clever as you want to be, and you can be as evil as you want to be, but you're not going to get away with it, because every time you do any little thing, you rack up karma points, good or bad. And that judgment day, man, that judgment day comes down on you, and, you know, and it's going to come down on these guys. You know, that's why we can, if you're on the right path, you know, if we're on the right path, no matter what we do, it's going to benefit us. Like, they put me in jail, and they made me more famous than I've ever been. I'm making more money than I ever have. I'm going to go into business. I'm going to do things that's going to make me so. I'm going to capitalize on all this. You know, they haven't hurt me a bit. I'm out of the bong business. You know, I'm going to get into legitimate businesses where that, you know, use my name. You know, the movies, everything else. You know, I was only in the bong business really because of my son. You know, and. And so, no matter, here, the bottom line is that we don't have to worry. You see, the force of God, the force of nature will take care, will heal, will take care of anybody doing wrong. That's why Jesus would insist that we forgive. See, because the biblical thing, you know, vengeance is mine, is so true. See, so you don't have to worry about someone else, you know, not getting his punishment, or worry about someone else has got more than you have, you know. Nah, you don't have to worry about that. Just be glad you're here, glad you're alive, just like me. I'm glad. I met more nice people in jail than I've ever met in my life, the 9 months I was there. I learned more in that 9 months than I've ever learned in my whole 67 years. And I've grown incredibly. So it was such a positive thing for me, for that to happen to me. And it was such a bad thing for the Bush administration, because it shows you how karma works. You know, they brought attention to these ills. They put me in a place where I seen all these people in jail for bogus charges. You know, up until then I was just cruising along, you know, just having a good time. But now I'm an activist. I'm going to get out there and just tell the truth. That's it, man. Hey, this is Tommy Chong for the Cultural Baggage Show, telling everybody out there, don't let free speech go up in smoke, man.
I do appreciate you taking the time. I'm a very busy
my
day.
Pleasure, man.
All right.
I want to thank Tommy Chong and the good folks at the Improv. They couldn't have been more helpful, and all the workers stayed after closing to hear this interview.
It's time to play Name That Drug by Its Side Effects.
Sleepiness, memory impairment, impaired speech, abnormal coordination, reduced sexual drive, emotional and or physical dependence, seizures, nausea, vomiting, tachycardia, and heart palpitations. Time's up. The answer is Xanax, another FDA-approved product.
Poppygate. Bizarre news about the U.S. policy on controlling heroin. Featuring Glenn Greenway.
The United Nations announced this week that U.S.-occupied Afghanistan's opium production is essentially unchanged from last year and is once again responsible for nearly 90% of the world's black market heroin. An especially bountiful Afghan harvest has offset the reduction in land dedicated to poppy cultivation. In some provinces where poppy eradication efforts have been especially aggressive, farmers complain that local economies have collapsed. A village elder in Nangarhar province is quoted, "This coming year, we will plant opium again, and this time the whole tribe has agreed that we will fight. We are ready to die." Meanwhile, in Washington, rising price and falling purity of South American heroin on North American streets are indications of planned Colombia's success, according to U.S. drug czar John Walters. In the real world, Colombian opium production represents a tiny 1.5% slice of the titanic U.S.-Afghan poppy monopoly pie. This is Glenn Greenway reporting for the Drug Truth Network.
The number one song on the Pakistan-Iraqi border, from Osama bin Laden, number one with a million bullets, Tora Bora on my mind.
Little W treated me so kind, now I've got Tora Bora on my mind. Where the poppies grow so fine, and I've got Tora Bora on my mind. Making billions from the horse, CIA, DEA, and me, of course.
Shades of Joe Camel and Susie the Suicidal Sloth. Budweiser Beer announces a new drink to lure the young. You'll be able to wake up and dull the senses at the same time. Tastes slightly sweet and tart, and aromas of blackberry, raspberry, and cherry. The ginseng provides a spicy character. The caffeine makes you so alert, you think you can drive a car. The best lure to death to come down the pike since crack cocaine. It's Bee Brew from Anheuser-Busch and Budweiser. And of course, they're doing it for the children.
By now, all Drug Truth Network listeners have heard the story of Mark Emery, the Canadian busted by the DEA for selling marijuana seeds to Americans. Now comes the story out of Switzerland. Our friend and global visionary, André First, is being punished by Swiss courts for being the first to show people how to organically grow fuels, food, herbal therapeutics, building materials, clothes, and biodegradable plastics, all from the same plant. At Chanfray Info in Murat, Switzerland, André has been growing vast expanses of organic, high-THC, Swiss-mixed cannabis to sustainably produce an abundance of products. Most of these products are presently being manufactured using toxic, unevenly distributed, finite resources, creating radical imbalance in an ecosystem on the verge of synergistic collapse. Cannabis prohibition is a fundamentally destabilizing misvaluation of a critically determinate natural resource. Without cannabis, mankind will never achieve sustainable existence on this planet, yet prohibition persists. Imprisonment of people whose values and spiritual philosophy are in tune with the Earth's natural order reinforces the warped values of an economic system breaking natural laws in order to legitimize itself. People must stand up for André First and Mark Emery to stop the downward slide of our species deeper into the quagmires of endless lawlessness and increasing violence. André First has shown how high THC strains of cannabis can be grown to produce all the products presently associated with low THC industrial hemp. In addition to the herbal therapeutics, agricultural biocides, and euthanogens and herbs for sensory stimulation, we are helping to raise the global call and legal defense funds to reverse André's conviction. to learn more about this situation and to perhaps find ways that you can assist, I urge you to please visit www.chanvre-info.ch. That's spelled chanvre-info.ch.
Does drug enforcement make the public less safe? A recent study by the Justice Policy Institute found that, quote, data shows little relationship between growing arrest rates for marijuana offenses and the drug's use rate, end quote. Marijuana has been the leading category of drug arrests since the mid-1990s, passing heroin and cocaine. In fact, according to the FBI, each year since 1998, there have been more arrests annually on marijuana charges than for all violent crimes combined. In 2003, for the first time, there were more arrests on all drug charges than arrests for property crimes. Meanwhile, the FBI also reports that less than 20% of property crimes are cleared. That is, a suspect was arrested and charged in only one out of every five property crimes. For violent crimes, the clearance rate is just under 50%. There's no clearance rate for drug offenses, but we do know that 80% of drug arrests, 87% of marijuana arrests, are for possession. For the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh, editor of DrugWarFacts.org.
Let's take a minute to talk about workplace drug testing and why it's good. Healthcare costs have risen dramatically over the past decade. According to the International Drug Strategy Institute, a group of doctors, lawyers, educators, and law enforcement officials, the escalating drug epidemic is to blame. In 1989, a study conducted by the National Institute on Drug Abuse found that employees of Georgia Power that used drugs averaged $1,377 in medical benefit costs, while those who did not use drugs averaged $163, over a 1,000% increase. This drastic increase forces companies to raise their insurance rates for all of us. Drug testing in the workplace disrupts addiction by deterring drug use. In 1994, the American Management Association Workplace Drug Testing Survey stated that, quote, there is no doubt that drug testing is an effective method of deterring drug use. Drug testing disrupts addiction, deters drug use, makes for a safer workplace, and drives down healthcare costs. Look it up for yourself at www.drugwatch.org. I'm Winston Francis. This has been the official Government Truth.
And of course, what Winston's not telling you is that the people who gathered this data together own urine testing companies and want to test you and your children every day of your life for drugs in your urine. Couple of program notes. I want to thank three new affiliates who've joined the Drug Truth Network. WRFN in Nashville, WRFG in Atlanta, Georgia, and CHSR up in New Brunswick. I also want to thank the good folks at KCRH in Hayward, California for inviting me to be a guest on their radio station. You ever see the movie Slaughterhouse-Five? Shelley Winters plays a very down-and-out prostitute who gets paid a nickel at a time, and she keeps the money in her mouth. And despite whatever may be happening to her, she keeps her mouth shut to hang on to those nickels. Well, that's what this drug war is like, as each one of us eats what they're taking and keeps our mouths shut, no matter the lies and perversion that goes on around us. In closing, I remind you once again that because of drug prohibition, you don't know what's in that bag. Please be careful.
To the Drug Truth Network listeners around the world, on behalf of engineer Philip Guffey, this is Dean Becker for Cultural Baggage and the Unvarnished Truth. The show produced at the Pacifica Studios of KPFT, Houston.
Jap dancing on the edge of an abyss.